Did you miss church this weekend? Was the sermon so good you wanted to hear it again? Welcome to the Hope Tri-Cities Sermon Podcast.
All right. Hey, give someone a high five that you're sitting next to. I know we keep making you people do this. If you're not sitting next to anyone, give yourself a high five. I want to see, give yourself a high five. There it is. All right. Hey, great to see everybody here this morning. I love those guys that were part of that PB&J group that I was part of, and it's just really good to get to know people. It's good to lean on people. It's good to know that you're not alone. It's good to know that you got someone that has your back. And it's just a lot of camaraderie. There's laughter. There's good things that are going on. And it's so it's that PBJ group. If you're a guy in here looking for a group, that's a great one to look at. But today we are talking about, we're starting a series called Trust Falls. Everyone say Trust Falls. We are talking about community, and that's what this whole shirt is about. We're committing to more. Part of committing to God is saying, it's not just a personal relationship that I have with Jesus, and I just carry him by myself in isolation. Why? Because isolation is desolation and death. It's actually not good for us. The best way that we grow is through community and with others, and that's not easy. It's difficult to grow together. In relationship with other people, because guess what? Because we're messy, we're not perfect, we make mistakes, we let each other down, right? But God says, I'm going to use these situations, I'm going to use people to help shape your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. One of the things that we, as humanity, sometimes we carry in our hearts is this feeling that something is missing. You ever say that? Well, I feel like there's something missing, right? All of humanity walks around thinking, I think there's something missing in my life. And I think a lot of people in this room say, no, I feel like I'm pretty full in my heart. But I think humanity in general is they feel like they're lacking something. If you go to Google, for example, there's a great clue, great indicator. If you go to Google, one of the top searches when you're writing down, how can I be, one of the top searches is happy. How can I be happy? Why? Because people feel like they're missing something. Right? People, a lot of times we're full of activity, full of events. We got all these things that we're doing. We got projects, all these things. But at the end of the day, we're like, man, I feel like there's still something missing. How can I be happy? My boys sometimes, when they're trying to get me to do something for them and I say no, they say, Dad, don't you want us to be happy? They try to gaslight me, right? And I just say, I'm not concerned with your happiness. He's not overly concerned with our happiness. He wants us to be happy, but that's not his main concern. I think what's really important is for us to be able to have joy regardless of our circumstances, right? I think our hearts desire something that is deeper and truer. Joy is what our hearts are longing for. When I looked at, don't judge me for this, but I looked at WikiHow, this repository of human wisdom collected into one place. I looked up how to be happy, and it gave us three sections of how to be happy, and I'm going to read a few of those to you guys just to see what human wisdom brings us, right? One thing that it said is be optimistic. You want to be happy, just be optimistic. Avoid the facts or the reality that sometimes life is very difficult, and just be happy. Be optimistic. It's going to be okay. Someone egged your house. Hey, kids, we got omelets. Right? Someone left poop on your front doorstep. Hey, kids, we got no more fertilizer for our garden. Right? It's not going to work for very long. How long can we do that with our situations and our circumstances? Right? Another thing it says, be your best self. Right? Because you weren't trying already. Right, spend your money on experiences rather than things. Good, but what if you run out of money? What if you lose your job? What if the things happen and you know, it's a lot of times the people that have a lot of money, and I know some people like this, not all the people that I know that have lots of money, some people are the most unhappy people are the people that have a lot of money. Right? Surround yourself with positive people. Only be around people that that want to tell you what you want to hear. Then you'll be happy, right? Forget your family and friends that might be negative or might have some negative aspects to them. Just forget about them. Just throw them off the ledge and just be around people that say the things that you want to hear because they're positive, right? That's how to be happy. And last one that I wrote down that I saw here was get 7 to 9 hours of sleep. So get rid of your babies and get rid of your pets and then you'll be happy, right? Right? That's human wisdom for us. Some of that stuff is good. Actually, it's good to get good rest and be around people that are going to speak life into you. But again, our hearts are longing for something that is deeper. Right? Our hearts are longing. There's something about us that's whether we can put words to it or not, that is, we're searching for things that are going to help us endure through the seasons, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so in the Bible, when we look at the Bible, there's so many places, there's so many spots. And one spot that I love is in the book of Psalms. It's the very first Psalm. We're going to read it in just a moment. If you don't know what Psalms means, Psalms, when you look at the word, it starts with a P. It's like, what is it, Psalms? It just means songs in Hebrew. So this is the Bible's greatest hits. 150 of them right here for us. All these amazing songs about how to draw close to the Lord and how to deny some of the things that we try to cling to. And it speaks life to us. It speaks truth to us. And it's amazing. But we're going to read verses 1 through 3 out of Psalm chapter 1. Would you guys do me a favor? I don't do this very often, but would you guys stand up for me as we read? We're going to read it together nice and loud, okay? I'll go slow. But I think it's good for us to read together. If you're not able to stand up, that's okay. But it's going to be on the screen behind me. But I'm going to read. I'm just going to start and just follow along with me. Yeah? Okay. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Good job. I just wanted to hear you guys, that last part. It's amazing. You guys can go ahead and give someone a high five again. I love it. Or give yourself a high five. That's okay. All right. All right, it says, oh, the joys. Different translations say, blessed is the person, blessed is the man, blessed is the person who does not follow, stand, or join, or sit with these different people. And I think there's a really good, important principle for us to grab onto from this. It's a secret about how to be happy, how to have joy in our lives. And it's found in the level of commitment that we see in the progression of metaphors that are used. If you look at this, the person goes from following to standing with to sitting with or joining with. There's a level of progression to that commitment that the person is placing to those actions, right? In Jewish thinking, the people that you sat with, those were your people. That's where you garnered your identity. That's who you became. Those are my people. I'm joining in with these people. I'm sitting with these people. They are my people. This is my tribe. This is where I'm getting my identity. It's kind of like when you go to last Sunday, there's some people that wore their jerseys. I saw Seahawks jerseys in here, right? Right. We could see who, like, it's similar to that, right? There's certain little tribes, little pockets of people that's their team, right? I saw someone with a big star, too. What is that? That's Dallas? Are they still in the NFL? Yeah. I thought they got, taken down somewhere. But you know what I'm talking about? So it's similar to different cliques in school, people groups that you sit with, right? There's different cliques, like the jocks and the skaters and the drama kids. Like, you know what I'm talking? You guys know what I'm talking about? Does that happen still? Kids, does that still happen in school? My son is going like this. What people group did you belong to when you were in school?
The nerds.
The nerds, okay. He was proud about that. What else?
AutoCAD?
Is that what you said?
Auto shop,
okay. I got something wrong with my car. Brainiac? I can't hear you guys.
Outcast?
Oh, that's a whole group? Oh, geez. That's sad. What else?
Athletes.
Drama club. Drama club. Over here. Band. Anything else? D&Ders, gamers. Oh, there's all kinds of things, right? And so in Jewish culture, what you do is you have, these are your people. These are the people you belong to, right? And so the psalmist, what he's saying, he's conveying is where you find your identity determines where you find your joy. And that's what he's driving at. If there's anything that we're going to get from this passage, is this is it right here. Where you find your identity will determine where you find your joy. The progression, again, it starts in the mind. Follow the advice of the wicked. And it goes into stand. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Right now there's a posture of your body. There's behaviors. There's actions. And then joining in with the mockers. And I used to think that, when I used to read this, it didn't sound too bad, like a scoffer or a mocker. That doesn't sound too bad. But what the Bible's talking about is they mock God openly. So this is the worst thing. It's a progression towards this degradation of the person's soul. From the mind to behaviors and actions to identity. Don't let your mind and your behavior and your identity be shaped by those who scoff and mock the Lord, is what the psalm is saying. So it's important for us. We need to think about what is shaping my thinking. I think that's an important question to ask ourselves. Where am I finding my identity? Because it's not enough for us to go to church 1.7 times a month. That's the national average now. It's not enough for us to say, well, my parents are Christian, so that means I'm a Christian, and I derive my Christianity through my parents. No, it's us. It's about us saying that I'm gonna walk with Jesus. I'm going to find my identity in the one that I sit with. A psalmist, he's saying, he's placing two ways to live before us. If you look at this, if you read the entire psalm, he's saying either you walk with the Lord where there's life and an understanding of our identity, or you walk in the futility of our striving that ends in destruction. Right? He's saying we either the person that is happy and joyful, we know the Lord, and there's an abundance of unending and this unending source of joy, not just for this life, but also for the next, or we end up becoming, because of that progression of our mentality in our heart, from thinking to standing to joining in, we the one who mocks the Lord, who has this increasing amount of suffocation to their life because they're running away from suffering and anything that has meaning. Two ways to live. And over in the Psalms, we see it. They always present it. This is this way or this way. And in regards to this psalm, in light of the verses that we see here, the writer is pushing us to get serious about a couple things, to commit to more. He's pushing us to get serious and commit to more. And in light of this, we see is commit to God's word. Right? Verse 2 it says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Right? Commit to God's word. We're digging our roots deep into God's word. Notice the word. It says delight. Right? It doesn't say that there's a duty there. It's a delight thing. It's being delighted in God's word. We get the sense that in the word of God, when we are delighted in God's word, it frees us from the seduction of the world. Frees us from it allows us to escape the pleasures of this world when we say, I'm going to have a pleasure. My pleasure is going to be in God's word. Delighting in it, meditating on it. And some of us, when we think about them, we think, I don't know about this. This thing that you're talking about, I've never experienced this. To have this delight, this joy in God's presence, I don't know what you're talking about. It's foreign to me. There's been seasons in my life, and I think for some of us in here, where this has been a checkbox. I know I'm supposed to do it, so I put it on my to-do list, and I forget to check it off, and then I end up in only feeling guilty because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. How many of you guys ever felt that way? It's quite a few of us. God says, I want you to delight in my presence. I want you to delight in my word. There's a guy, an old pastor, his name is Jonathan Edwards. He says this, sometimes only mentioning a single word will cause my heart to burn within me. Only seeing the name of Christ or some attribute of God will suddenly make my heart burn. And God suddenly appears glorious to me, making me have exalting thoughts of him. When I enjoy this sweetness, it seems to carry me above the thoughts of my own estate. It seems that at such times I'm at such a loss that I cannot bear it, and I cannot bring myself to take my eye from this glorious present object, God, to turn it to myself or to my interest. Jonathan Edwards. Do you have that? I think a lot of times we struggle spiritually because we don't know God like this. And we toil looking for joy when we're supposed to be looking for God. I think we have it backwards. I think a lot of times we say, man, I need God, or I want joy, so I'm gonna go towards God to get it. When it should be, man, I really want God, and I get to have joy. So many of us were searching for happiness and joy. So I'm going to try Jesus so I can get this thing. And we elevate this thing, this joy, this happiness. We're in the seat of where God should be. We end up flipping it. And so the question is, well then, Angel, how do we do this? How do we have joy? How do we have happiness? Well, part of that is we confess our cold hearts. The places where our hearts are hard. Yeah. There's sometimes we spend times being a part of a church for years, sometimes decades, and we think, man, is this it? I go to this thing all the time, and what is this it? And God's been waiting for us. Last week I talked about having a fertile soil of our hearts, like soft hearts. Part of that soft tenderness that we need to have in order for God to deposit things in us is just confessing the hard places of our heart and then sitting and receiving from him. A lot of times we want a formula, right? Just give me a formula, Angel. Like, just give me a 1, 2, 3, the ABC, let's do this, or an acrostic, Angel, because you're a pastor and you should be able to do acrostics, right? And God says, I just want a relationship with you. A.W. Tozer says, oh God, I have tasted thy goodness and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I'm painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I'm ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, I want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made thirstier. Give me grace to rise up and follow thee. He's saying that. I want to want you more, God. And the thing is, sometimes that makes us, this is kind of confusing. Because we know that God knows us fully. Like, God knows every detail about your about who you are, about your personhood. And he knows everything about who you are. But what he's saying is, I want to know you experientially. He's got all the data on us, but he says, I want to get to know you as we engage with one another. Again, I think we turn it backward. We flip the script and we think, I want joy, so I'm going to go pursue God. When God is saying, I want you to get to know me, and then you'll get joy as a bonus. And the psalmist, he's saying, I know what joy truly is because my greatest desire is to know you and to be known by you. And I'm going to pursue you, God. And he talks about it in terms of meditation. He says, meditate on God's word. The word meditate in the Hebrew literally means to mumble to oneself. So part of part of walking with God is getting to know his word, but also like, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me here? And not just opening it for a couple minutes in the day, but all day long, he's mumbling the gospel to himself. All day long, he's talking to himself about God's word. Oh, what is that? What does that mean? Oh, I see how this applies in my life here and here. And it's this constant thing that's happening over and over again. I've heard it can be compared to the cow's cud. You know what a cud is? I grew up with raising cows, and it always looked like they were eating all day long. Right? I would go in the morning and feed them, and then like a couple hours later, they're still like, how, where did they get food? Well, you learn that they regurgitate stuff. They have like four stomachs, and they're trying to break down all this grass to receive all the nutrients from it so they can do what they need to do. But in order to break things down, they have to chew it multiple times. So it goes down, they swallow it, and then later it comes back up, and then they'll burp, they'll make this funny sound, and then pretty soon, I got another little tasty snack. And then just all day long, there's this regurgitation process that happens. All day long, they're returning back to this thing, and they're receiving everything that that grass needs. And I think we got to be like cows when it comes to reading our Bible. That's a funny little application, isn't it? I think we got it right. I think we need to, like, all day long. Man, I really like what God's word said in this. And not just leave it and forget about it because I checked the box. And in those moments, I think God's like with us. He's like, let me show you something else from this. Let me show you something else from this. All day long. I think some of you maybe where you're at with reading your Bible, but I think it's good to start. Either, you know, babies start from crawling, then walking, then running, right? I think it's the same way it goes with reading our Bible. If you're brand new to this thing, there's Bible apps. There's the Bible app that you can open up. There's all kinds of devotionals. It's called YouVersion. You can search it up right now on your phones if you want. I won't get mad if I see you on your phone right now. I won't assume that you're watching the NFL channel or something like that. Don't get any ideas, please, Armin. Just messing with you. Yeah, I can see you completely over here. Okay. He doesn't have his phone out, just so you know. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus, okay? But I know he loves watching. He loves seeing what's going on with sports. Grab a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we have some free ones in the back, and just start reading. Maybe a chapter a day. Start in the Book of John. If you've never done that before, start in the Book of John and just read a chapter a day. And if you've got questions about what to do next, let us help you. Fill out one of those connect cards and say, I'm starting to read my Bible, and let us help you figure that out, what it means to commit more to God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the next thing that we see there is commit to God's people. Commit to his people. The Bible's telling us to get serious, to dig our roots in and get serious about others that are walking with Jesus. The Psalms here, what he's saying is don't let your identity be shaped by the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. Let God's word help you shape your identity along with God's people. Okay, Sunday morning sermons, they're good for inspiring, but community is what shapes you and I. Amen? Thank you. Right, I used to tell when I was a youth pastor, I used to say all the time, I said, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Right? And moms and dads in here, I'm telling you, once a month pep talk is not going to shape them. I guarantee you, it's going to be their friends. So it's really important who they're creating community with. And when we have a strong, strong body of believers that are coming together, and that's going to be their community. Church is not an event that we attend. Church is us, is people becoming, it's people becoming the church. It's not just a thing that we go to. And us who are becoming the church, it's a body of people saying, I'm committed to God, I'm committed to you. Let's walk together. That's that's countercultural. That's difficult. I mean, I have to create time for this. I have to set aside. I have to say no to some things. Yeah, we have to say no to some things. Because community doesn't happen by accident. Community doesn't happen, it doesn't make it easy for us. And God's trying to shape something in us through that process. So we join a small group. We start serving. We open up our lives and say, God, help me bring good community around me so I can continue to grow in you. Right? Because it says in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. It's saying, we walked through that already, but if we were to contrast that, if we were to flip that, what does it sound like? Right? If we go, follow the advice of the wise. Stand around with those who do good. Sit with those who encourage you in the Lord. What does that sound like? That sounds like a small group. It sounds like a group of people who are growing together in Jesus. Right? We're never going to be happy or have joy if we're not anchored to a point outside of ourselves. And that anchor is God's word and God's people. Right, so we need to get serious about being deeply rooted in Jesus, being deeply rooted in his word and in his people. There's a quote by Charles Spurgeon, and this is a rough one. It says this: the half-committed Christian is the most miserable person on earth. He is just enough in the world to be miserable in the presence of God, and he's just enough into God to be miserable in the world. That's tough. Think about that. We say, I'm just going to be kind of connected to God in different areas. We're never going to experience the joy and the blessing that God wants for us. And Psalm 1 verse 3 says, those who are happy, those who are delighting in God's word, meditating on it day and night, they're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. The person with the most joy is like a tree that is deeply planted, deeply anchored. And when winds blow and storms come, they're not going to get blown over because there's substance there. Or when drought shows up and it doesn't rain, guess what? Those roots are dug way deep down when there's nourishment and there's still water to draw up to its leaves. When things happen, when we lose our job, when there is a breakup, when there are issues that show up, the leaf doesn't wither and the fruit still keeps showing up because you're deeply rooted. Right? When your favorite presidential candidate botches the debate or does well, right? You're okay because you're deeply rooted. Right? Regardless what happens in November, what happens next year, the year after, it doesn't matter because you're deeply rooted. Again, I've said this a bunch of times over the last few months, even actually the last few years that I've been here, is we don't put our faith in the circumstances around us. We put our faith in the Lord. Regardless of what happens, you're going to be okay. We do our part. We're responsible for being good citizens. We're responsible for being good neighbors. We're responsible for being good parents and students. We do our best to honor God in the way we honor others and we walk with him. But this psalm is an assault to culture. Culture says that in order to be happy, you gotta have total freedom. No guardrails, like a room without a roof. And in order to be happy, you answer to no one. You make your own rules. And this is just not true. That is not a true happiness. There's no joy in that. You'll be bound by something. You'll be bound by the wind like a tumbleweed without roots. Is a tumbleweed happy? tumbleweeds, they might be happy for a little bit. There's a picture that I want to show you guys. Tumbleweed might be happy for a small season. There it is. There's the Tri-Cities. There's the Tri-Cities every other year, right? It might be happy for a little bit. You're rolling along, you're having fun, and then you get hit by a car. Then what happens to the poor little tumbleweed? Doesn't go anywhere. Or most of these things end up on a ditch somewhere, right? Just stuck there. And I think a lot of times, even as Christians, that's how we let life carry us, like a tumbleweed, because we're not really rooted to community. We're not really rooted to God's word, and we're just kind of letting the wind blow us everywhere. Let's commit to more. Let's commit to hearing from God through his word. Let's commit to growing together. Let's create space and margin so that we have community. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we'll move on. Jesus, thank you. You died on the cross for our sins. And you said that we're called to have life everlasting, life abundantly here. Not just in heaven, but here. And even through persecution and people being martyred and all those things, those Christians are still full of joy, and we can be full of joy. You died so that we would have a sense of identity and intimacy with you. Lord, your design is community with you and community with others. We recognize, Lord, that it won't be perfect, and it won't even be peaceful, and it will be messy, because we are not perfect. We are messy. Sometimes we're not peaceful. But Lord, I just pray that we commit to more, commit to you and to one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. He is a good God. He loves you. He wants more for you. He more wants to pour into you more. I think it's a full surrender of our hearts continually. Repenting and saying, man, I gotta, there's some hard things in my heart that, Lord, I need to let you do work in me. As we worship during this next song, we have one or two. These next two songs, let that work be done in your life, whatever that might be, as little or as much. Let this be a time where God tills the soil of your heart and continues to drop his word in your life. Amen? If you're here, you're saying, I need Jesus, I need to follow Jesus, I need to give my life to Jesus, I need to surrender to Jesus, I haven't done that before. Can we get it? Just everybody close your eyes just for a second. Say, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to depend on something more than myself. If that's you, if you have not depended on anything else but yourself, and you're saying it's time for me to depend on Jesus, would you just raise your hand? Let me see where you're at. Gotcha. Thank you. Another one. Thank you. Just hands over here. Thank you. Awesome. This is good. Thank you, Jesus. Look at me real quick. That is the most important thing we could do. And it doesn't just happen once. We just got to continue to say that, Lord, I need to depend on you. I need to lean on you. It's not just about me. Thank you. And there's others of us in here who are saying, Lord, help me. Help me to bring others along with me. And so this next 3 weeks, as we go into groups and that sort of thing, bring others with you. You know you're going to be a part of a group. Find someone to go with you that is not part of a group. All right? I'm gonna put that on you guys. You say you're mature in Jesus, bring someone with you. Amen? And some of you are like, oh, Angel, that stickler got me. He's getting me right now. We're mature. If we're walking with Jesus, we got to be bringing others with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. All right, let's worship.